Some of you folk may have seen a wee bit of fuss taking place there. The last thing I did before I left home was to clean my glasses so I could see what I was doing. I opened my glass case tonight in the front of the meeting and discovered there was no glasses. Now, Charles Gillis helped me out. I was thinking there, the last time that happened to me, I was doing interviews for the council. And on the interview panel, there was an SDLP councillor. He kindly went out to the car and brought in his glasses and gave them to me. And the comment was, you might see things in a different light now. So, but that being as it may, these things happen. I want you to turn, please. I want to read a few verses, please, from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. And while you're turning to that, can I just make one or two comments? You may wonder why I'm here tonight. Some time ago, the session of a church decided that it would only be appropriate that the elders in turn should give their testimony over a period of time. Why I was chosen first, I don't know. I'm not the youngest, I'm not the oldest. It's not in alphabetical order, but we'll leave that to the wisdom of the Reverend Dean. You may have noticed in the advert for this meeting this evening, I'm just saying this by way of introduction, the advert said that, come and hear William Dick tell his story. And, you know, that is exactly as it is. This story that I want to tell this evening of my experience, of how I came to know the Lord, what the Lord means to me, is not about William Dick. It's about the Lord. And I want you to emphasise that this evening. I'm sure you will appreciate too, folks, that it is impossible to share one's experience without referring to oneself. And the last thing I want to do is to give the impression of being pious or being super spiritual. This is certainly not the case, and no one is more aware of that than I am. But I trust this evening, friends, that as I share some of my experiences, it will help be a blessing to you. One thing I have discovered is that many people struggle with problems and difficulties, thinking that it is only they who have those concerns, and this could be further from the truth. So I know from experience that in listening to testimonies and in sharing testimony, that it can be a blessing to others. I want to read these verses before we go any further. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, young Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And in many respects, those words could sum up my testimony. I was born in the 1940s. That makes me 60 plus that. The problem is that the rate of that keeps increasing year on year. Things, it's tremendous how things have changed down through 60 years or so ago. Some time ago, I was speaking to Kyle Boyd and some of his friends, and they were quizzing me about what things were like when I was a young fella, when I was a child, and what things were like at home. Now, I don't know whether Kyle and his friends thought that I was ancient or not, but we were just disclosing some of the things, what things were like when I was a child, being brought up from the age of up to 8 or 9 or 10. We had no electricity. There was no telephone. And there was no running water. And so that's what things were like then. Let alone mobile phones and laptops and all the other things that we have nowadays. But those were good days and those were blessed days. But the important thing that I want to say this evening is that the home that I was brought up in was a Christian home. My father and mother were quiet, godly people. They knew and they loved the Lord. Being brought up in that environment and meant that I was brought under the influence of the gospel. I was taken to church, to Sunday school and to gospel meetings. And so from an early age of understanding, I knew the way of salvation. I knew all about the problem of sin, that I was born in sin. I had come short of the glory of God. I knew that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. I knew that I could do nothing to save myself. I knew that if we wanted to be saved, we were to be saved through faith, but that we're saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, the scripture says, lest any man should boast. And that was my experience right up until the age of 13. At that time, when I became 13, or around that time, I was brought to realise that being born into a Christian home and knowing all these important truths about the gospel could not and would not save my soul nor make me a Christian. I was still on the broad road to a lost eternity. At that time, folks, there was a mission held in Gahard Orange Hall, conducted by an evangelist by the name of Bert Wheeler. During that time and during that mission, I was brought to the realisation that if I wanted to be saved, if I wanted to know the Lord, if I wanted to become a Christian, I couldn't just drift along, but would have to make a very definite and specific, in a very definite and specific way, acknowledge my sin. I would have to come before the Lord and acknowledge that I could do nothing to save myself. I would have to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive my sin, to come into my heart and life and save me by his grace. And at that time, at that age, that is exactly what I did. I asked the Lord to come into my heart, come into my life and save me by his grace. Did the Lord answer that prayer? Of course he did. You may ask me, how do I know? I know because God's word says that whosoever, and that included me, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, my friends, I learned then that the importance of trusting the word of God. It is foolish to put our trust in our feelings, because those feelings can be so fickle. But there's nothing fickle about the word of God. So we trusted the Lord at that time. We trusted not our feelings. As I say, I was only 13. But I believe that then my life was changed. The Lord gave me a new sense of purpose, a new direction, new desires. And above all, he changed my destiny. I can remember at that occasion saying to my mother that I was going to start to go to prayer meetings, which I did. Now, can I say that that is not the normal thing for a boy of 13 to do? But I thank the Lord that he changes lives, and he changed me, I believe, at that time. I thank the Lord that he does give the assurance of salvation. Now, you may think this evening that to say that is presumptuous, but by no way is that presumptuous, because our faith, our dependence, our trust is in what the Word of God says. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 we read, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." So thank God this evening we can know that we have eternal life. Now, as well as that, the Lord does give a deep sense of assurance within our hearts and within our minds. And I can testify to that this evening, that deep down there is that deep assurance of peace with God and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. Before I move on, can I just impress upon you tonight the sheer folly of just drifting along and doing nothing about your soul's salvation. If you're here tonight and you remember nothing else about this meeting, about what has been said or what will follow later, I want you to remember this, that to do nothing is not an option. To do nothing is not an option. How many there are this evening who just drift along, and you know you may drift for too long. Early in my Christian experience, folks, I discovered the truth and the principle contained in Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6.
and have proved that truth experimentally. Those words are these: trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Can I say this evening that as one looks over the years, we can clearly identify the Lord's hand leading and guiding and directing in so many ways and so many aspects of life. I can clearly trace the hand of a sovereign God. As we all know, the journey of life isn't always easy. The Lord not only leads through the good times, over the mountaintop experiences, if we can refer to as that, but there are times when he surely goes with us through the difficult times and through those valley experiences. And I know there are many here tonight who have experienced that. Can I just refer very briefly as we keep moving on? When I was 14, as many of you know, my brother Noel was involved in a serious accident resulting in the loss of a limb. At 15, a year later, my grandmother, who lived with us, passed away. And a year later, the Lord called my mother home quite suddenly after a rare heart condition. Why do I mention these things, folks? Why do I tell this? Simply to emphasize the fact that even in the midst of the sorrows and trials of life, one can prove the grace of God. Christians, you know, are not immune from the trials of life. We experience trials and difficulties and temptations and sorrow just as anyone else. But the truth of the matter is that, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, he careth for you. We cast our care upon him, the Lord, the mighty God of heaven. Can I just say to you that so often we quote that verse, and I'm guilty of it as well. We often say, cast all your care upon the Lord. But if you read that carefully, it says, casting your every care upon the Lord. There's a difference in cast and casting. Cast gives the impression that we do it once, but casting is that we means that we continually cast our care upon the Lord. And that has been my testimony, and that has been my experience. I can remember, folks, some years later coming through a very difficult period when I suppose it was maybe 16 or 17 when I began to doubt my salvation. For some time, I struggled with times of what could only be described as spiritual depression, really not knowing whether I was coming or going. Outwardly, I was still putting on a show, but inside, inwardly, there was a real battle raging. These thoughts came to my mind: am I saved or am I not? What I'm saying to you, friends, tonight is real. The more I tried to wrestle with these doubts and fears, it just seemed that I became more entangled and more ensnared. What was I going to do? And when I say it was terrible, I mean it was terrible. I just was at wit's end. I can remember very vividly one night on one occasion in desperation getting down before the Lord in prayer and unburdening my heart, thoughts, my doubts, my anxiety to the Lord. I asked the Lord to make himself known. I can remember it so well. Now, I'm not saying tonight, friends, that there was an audible voice, but I am saying this, that there might as well have been, because the Lord spoke so clearly and so definitely on that occasion. And it came to me like this: when I came into your life, how were you saved? You were saved by faith and trust and dependence upon me. You trusted my word. Your assurance came by faith in my word. And then the Lord went on to show me, just as you trusted me by faith for your soul's salvation those many years ago, you have to learn to trust me day by day for your salvation. And the truth came to me as it never came to me before. I will never, never leave you nor forsake you. Can I say this honestly this evening? That a new and a deep sense of assurance on that occasion flooded my soul. I learned a precious lesson on that occasion, and it was this: that as we are saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ,
so we walk by faith, day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. Another lesson I learned on that occasion, with the truth that's contained in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, that we are kept by the power of God, through faith, unto salvation. And that is a tremendous truth, that we don't keep ourselves, but the Lord keeps us day by day.
Can I bring you back very briefly, friends, because time is going on, to what I referred a few minutes ago to, the principle contained in Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. Friends, I am convinced from experience that when we trust the Lord with all our heart, acknowledge Him in all our ways, He does direct our paths. He will guide us in every aspect of our lives. In general terms, my experience has been that the Lord guides step by step. The Lord guides step by step. However, being human and being impatient at times, we often might want what we call a roadmap for our whole life. We want to know what's going to happen next week, next month, and next year. But my experience is that it doesn't work that way. Rather, the Lord leads day by day, step at a time. Can I issue a warning also from experience that if the Lord opens a door, reveals the way ahead, and we willfully ignore that, we cannot expect to know the Lord's continued guidance. I mention that because I know that knowing the Lord's will and knowing guidance and direction is often a problem for young people and for young Christians. I thank the Lord for leading me to this church here in Cross Gar, not only for the blessing of fellowship received and the preaching, the teaching of God's word that we have here. But I can honestly say this evening that there are so many other aspects of the Lord's guidance that I have referred to, emanated, and this is important, emanated from that, which would take me too long to explain and to expand upon. I want you folks to take my word for that. If I had not come to Cross Gar those years ago, there are many other things and many other directions and opportunities that the Lord has given us would not have come into place had I not followed that direction of coming here to this church. Let me share, just by way of illustration, perhaps help to someone who's struggling with this tonight. Let me share with you one or two illustrations of how I have known the Lord's guidance. These are specific, can I say, these are specific to my experience. However, the principle is still the same. Many years ago, as many of you know, the Stour Young People's Fellowship started. It'll be 50 years going next year. And there was a young man by the name of Sam Anderson, myself, were leading that work. Sam responded to the call of God. They went to Bible college, and I was asked, would I take on the leadership of the Young People's Fellowship there at Lestouder? Now, it seemed the obvious thing to do, but I wanted to know, I wanted to be sure in my own heart that this was the will of the Lord. And I came before the Lord, and I can remember so clearly. And I was reading one day in the first book of Joshua, and I read these words, Moses, my servant, is dead. Arise, get up. Now, as far as Sam Anderson hadn't died, but as far as the work was concerned, he had moved on. And the Lord, I believe, guided me and gave me guidance at that time to take over the leadership of the young people's work in the Stour. And then he gave me a promise. He said, be strong and of a good courage, for the Lord thy God is with me. With thee. Now, you folk, anybody who's involved in leadership of Christian work, know that there can be problems and difficulties. So we often relied upon that promise, be strong and of a good courage, for the Lord thy God is with thee. 1985, there was an opportunity. I don't know why we would call it an opportunity or a challenge.
don't want you to misunderstand this one. This example, there's an opportunity or a challenge of entering public life. Because of the circumstances that prevailed, it did seem the obvious thing to do, but because of the implications for home, those who are involved in family life know what, or in public life know what this is all about. Because of the implications for home, for family, and church life, I had to be doubly sure that I was doing the right thing. Again, we sought the Lord for guidance for a set of circumstances for which I had no control. And I asked the Lord if it was His will that these circumstances would all fall into place. And I say, I told nobody about them. I had no control over them. And those circumstances all fell into place. Along with that, the Lord gave me a promise at that time from the book of Isaiah. And it said, I will go before thee and make the rough places plain. That's what He did. And I had no doubt whatsoever at that time that the Lord was leading and directing in that way. Lastly, and with this I am finished. You will appreciate this one that we all like. And we've got a romance. Maureen and I met initially under quite unusual circumstances. She was visiting a Naunton hospital and I was taking a neighbour to see her husband, and we met on the stairs in the hospital, and that's where we initially met. We started to go out together, and that relationship developed until we started to consider getting married. And that was clearly what each of us wanted. But we prayed for wisdom and guidance, and we were sure that this was how the Lord was guiding. Now, you can appreciate that I wanted to be doubly sure. So I prayed in the negative. Lord, if this is not your will, show me that it's not your will. Bring about some set of circumstances that I will know that I'm doing the wrong thing. There was no set of circumstances brought that about, and not I glad. And so we came together. And the Lord has blessed us. We thank the Lord for His blessings in that respect. And we thank the Lord for household salvation. Someone once asked on one occasion concerning his wife. He was asked, is she a handmaid of the Lord? And the reply was, I don't know whether she's handmaid or not, but she's well put together anyhow. Now, with that, I think I should finish. But all I want to say is that, to me, Maureen is a handmaid of the Lord. Can I sum up my testimony, folks, and with this I finish? And it's in the words of a hymn written by Fanny Crosby. And it says this, and I believe this sums up my testimony. All the way my Saviour leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. I trust that the Lord will bless this testimony to His honour and to His glory and to the blessing of those who are gathered this evening. Thank you very much.